Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 13. We're going to continue looking at the passage which we began to look at last Sunday. The disciples have just pointed out to the Lord Jesus the stunning nature of the temple, one of the seven wonders of the world. And then he responds, beautiful building, yes, but it's soon going to be all torn down. Judgment is coming. And that led the disciples to inquire about the end of life as they knew it, great tribulation, and Jesus gives the response that we're going to look at today. So please stand. One more time for the reading of God's Word and then prayer. We're going to start reading at Mark 13, verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 14. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. May we pray. Thy word, Father, yea, every word of God is true, is quick, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the bones and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What high privilege that we can freely study thy holy scriptures as we gather here, but we confess incapability to comprehend them, save that the Holy Spirit open our hearts. And so we commend ourselves into the care of God who made heaven and earth and pray that his very Spirit be present with us today, leading us in truth. May thy grace be with us as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to do better on this text this week. We're going to take another look at the features of an unraveling world, Mark 13, 3 through 14. Jesus has just said that Jerusalem was about to fall apart. The disciples asked for details. Jesus' answer extends beyond the upcoming conflict with Rome to the tribulation at the end of the world. Jesus' answer has application to the time in which we now live as well. The application is not in the details, but certainly in the principles. You see, given the unchanging nature of the powers of darkness and light, the way things unravel and the way Christians stand firm remain constant. And have you not observed that we are living in an unraveling world? So let's look first at features of an unraveling world in any age. I believe the Lord Jesus lists 7 in the text which we just read. Deception, false Christs, human conflicts, environmental turmoil, persecution of the godly, family breakdowns, and a bottoming out. That's not all there is at the end of the world, but we do see at least those 7, and we'll go on to more in later messages. But we do see these 7 in the text we just read in Mark chapter 13. So let's step through them rather briefly, and then we'll address what to do. Features of an unraveling world. First of all, deception. We read in Mark 13:5, Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Deceiving. It means to dupe, delude, defraud, trick, hoodwink, mislead, misguide, to buffalo, or outwit, to swindle. This will be the activity characterizing the last days. The last days will be one of fiction. They'll be one of lies, of confusion, of miscomprehension, misrepresentation, all over. The feature that will characterize this world in the last days is don't trust anybody about anything. Deception will be everywhere. The scriptures are replete with this warning. 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and 10, the Antichrist's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Revelation 12:9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. And what does he do? Deceives the whole world. So one feature of the unraveling world in which we live is deception. A second feature, Jesus said, false Christs. In verse 6 of our text, Jesus said that many shall come in my name saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. People representing themselves as the answer to life's problems, as being sent from God, as being the deliverer, as being the Savior. We're told of this as well later in that same chapter, Mark 13:22, where false Christs, false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Jeremiah 14:14, then the Lord said unto me, "The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their hearts." 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What are the features of an unraveling world? One is deception, lies everywhere. Another one is false Christ, it's all about. A third feature, Jesus said, human conflict. Going back to our text, verses 7, the first part of verse 8, And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Human conflict everywhere. We are told of this in Jeremiah, the last days, chapter 25, verse 32 of Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from coasts of the earth. Zechariah 14, 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Revelation 6, 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. What are the features of an unraveling world? Jesus' time at the end of the world now. Deception, false Christs, human conflict, environmental turmoil. In verse 8 of Mark 13, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. We have that confirmed in Isaiah 29, verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and earthquakes, and great noise with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. Ezekiel 7:15, the sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. In Revelation 6:12-13, behold, I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. What do we have to see at the time of unraveling? Deception, false Christs, human conflict, environmental turmoil, and persecution of the godly. In verse 9, the Lord said, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Mark 13:13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What are the features of an unraveling world in Jesus' time, in our time, certainly at the end, which may be soon? Deception everywhere. False Christs abound. Human conflict. Environmental turmoil. Persecution of the godly. 6, family breakdowns. Jesus said in Mark 13:12, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. We read in Ezekiel 38:21, every man's sword shall be against his brother. Micah chapter 7, starting with verse 4. The best of them is a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Luke 12, 52, 53. For from henceforth thou shalt be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. What are the features of an unraveling world? The Lord Jesus gives us seven in Mark 13. Deception, false Christs, human conflict, environmental turmoil, persecution of the godly, family breakdowns, and finally there is what we could call the bottoming out. Mark 13, 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, that's as far as it can go, it's as bad as it can get, things have sunk as far as they can sink, the cup of iniquity is full, when you have what is called the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Genesis 6, verse 5 and 6, we have another illustration of when a culture bottoms out, gone as low can go. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It was a similar picture in Genesis 19, 15, Sodom and Gomorrah. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So in review, here are seven features of an unraveling world. Center doesn't hold. Things are going to collapse and fully, remarkably in this such a day as that. Seven features: deception, false Christs, human conflicts, environmental turmoil, persecution of the godly, family breakdown, the bottoming out. Let's compare that scenario with what we observe in our world today. We could spend much time pontificating on the various aspects of our culture today fitting well with this template. I thought it would be more effective if I read the commentary of somebody who knows so much more than I and puts things succinctly and profoundly. And I was forwarded this the other day, a commentary by Victor Davis Hanson. So I'd like to pretty much read what he had to say, and then I put it in an outline form so you can follow on the PowerPoint as well. What he spoke on is the phenomenon of systems collapse. That would be a bottoming out. That's his phrase for it, a systems collapse. Now I begin to read. In modern times, as in ancient Rome, several nations have suffered a systems collapse. The term describes the sudden inability of once prosperous populations to continue with what had ensured the good life as they knew it. Abruptly, the population cannot buy or even find once plentiful necessities. They feel their streets are unsafe. Laws go unenforced or are enforced inequitably. Everyday things stop working. The government turns from reliable to capricious, if not hostile. And he gave a brief history. Consider contemporary Venezuela. By 2010, the once well-off oil-exporting country was mired in a self-created mess. Food became scarce, crime ubiquitous, radical socialism, nationalization, corruption, jailing of opponents, and the destruction of constitutional norms were the culprits. Greece. Between 2009 and 2016, A once relatively stable Greece nearly became a third world country. Great Britain. So, he said, did Great Britain in its socialist days in the 1970s. United States. Joe Biden's young presidency may already be leading the United States into a similar meltdown. It's a comment on history. What are the issues involved? Borders, open borders. Hard left woke ideology has all but obliterated the idea of a border. Millions of impoverished foreigners are entering the United States illegally and during a pandemic without either COVID-19 tests or vaccinations. A second issue, health bureaucracies. The health bureaucracies have lost credibility as official communiques on masks, herd and acquired immunity, vaccinations, and comorbidities apparently change and adjust to perceived political realities. Race relations. After decades of improving race relations, America is regressing into a postmodern tribal, a pre-modern tribal society. Meanwhile, crime soars. Meritocracy is libeled, and so we are governed more and more now by ideology and tribe. Then there's the issue of inflation, the soaring prices of the stuff of life, fuel, food, housing, health care, transportation, are strangling the middle class. Welfare. Millions stay home, content to be paid by the state not to work. Supply. Supply shortages and empty shelves are the new norm. Urban violence. 19th century style train robberies are back. So is 1970s urban violence, replete with looting, carjacking, and random murdering of the innocent. Diminished international influence. After the Afghanistan debacle, we have returned to the dark days following defeat in Vietnam, when United States deterrence abroad was likewise shattered, and global terrorism and instability were the norms abroad. And energy dependence. Who could have believed a year ago that America would now beg Saudi Arabia and Russia to pump more oil as we pulled our own oil leases and canceled our own pipelines and oil fields? And on the list goes, let's go on now to talk about causes. Our path to system collapse is not due to an earthquake, not due to climate change, not due to a nuclear war, or even the COVID-19 pandemic. Instead, most of our maladies are self-inflicted. They are the direct result of woke ideologies that are both cruel and antithetical to traditional American pragmatism. Law enforcement. Hard left district attorneys in our major cities refuse to charge thousands of arrested criminals, relying instead on bankrupt social justice theories. Law enforcement has been arbitrarily defunded and libeled. Police deterrence is lost, so looters, vandals, thieves, and murderers more freely prey on the public. Monetary theory. Modern monetary theory deludes ideologues that printing trillions of dollars can enrich the public, even as the ensuing inflation is making people poorer. Woke ideology. Critical race theory absurdly dictates that current good racism can correct the effects of past bad racism. A once tolerant, multiracial racial nation is resembling the factionalism of the former Yugoslavia. The culprit, again, is a callous, woke ideology that posits little value for individuals, prioritizing only the so-called collective agenda. Woke's trademark is equity, or a forced equality of result. Practically, we are becoming a comic book version of victims and victimizers, with woke opportunists play-acting as our superheroes. Just about done here. Institutional attacks. Strangest in 2021 was a systematic attack on our ancient institutions as we scapegoated our ancestors for our own incompetencies. The woke have waged a veritable war against the 233-year-old Electoral College and the rights of states to set their own balloting laws in national elections. The 180-year-old filibuster, the 150-year-old nine-person Supreme Court, and the 60-year-old 50-state union, which leads to crumbling public confidence. The United States military, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and National Institutes of Health, until recently, were revered. Their top echelons were staffed by career professionals, mostly immune to the politics of the day. Not now. These bureaus and agencies are losing public confidence and support. Citizens fear rather than respect Washington grandees who have weaponized politics ahead of public service. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley, Attorney General Merrick Garland, former FBI heads like James Comey and Andrew McCabe, retired CIA Director John Brennan, and Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, have all politicalized and vastly exceeded their professional purviews. They sounded off in public forums as if they were elected legislators up for re-election. Some lied under oath, others demonized critics, most sought to become media darlings. And finally, a comment on oversight. This government freefall is overseen by a tragically bewildered, petulant, and incompetent president. In his confusion, an increasingly unpopular president seems to believe his divisive chaos is working, belittling his political opponents as racist Confederate rebels. So as we head into the 2022 midterm elections, who will stop our descent into collective poverty, division, and self-inflicted madness? Now, as far as how to respond, the Lord Jesus listed at least seven features of an unraveling culture. We've looked at illustrations in our current culture. Jesus also gives a list of responses. There are five. We'll conclude by looking at them. How do we respond to an unraveling world? The first answer is, be alert. Mark 13:5, Jesus said, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you." That means be alert. In other scriptures we read, Ephesians 5:6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Philippians 3:2, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." A feature of believers in this unraveling world is we are to be alert. Take heed. Be on watch. Don't be deceived, Jesus says. We are to be an alert people. Secondly, he says, be calm. Mark 13, verse 7, "Be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be." Be calm. So we read in Psalm 27:3, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Psalm 112 in verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Proverbs 3:25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. And John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How do we respond to an unraveling world? Jesus says, be alert, be calm, and abide in God. Mark 13, verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So we read in Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. 2 Chronicles 20:17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How do we respond to an unraveling world? Jesus says, be alert, be calm, abide in God, endure. Verse 13 of Mark 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's a mark of true salvation. We don't quit, but we endure to the end. It's an evidence of true salvation. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 1:12. Finally, be alert, be calm, abide in God, endure, and flee. There's a time to flee. Mark 13:14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, let them be in Judea, flee to the mountains. Indeed, we're told in Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Exodus 9:20-21, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. By faith Noah, we read in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. There's certain things that flee means and doesn't mean, but it does mean something to you and me in terms of preparation and protection. Finally, we read in Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. How should we respond to an unraveling world. A simple answer for today: be alert, be calm, abide in God, endure, flee. May we pray. How great it is to have a God who not only has control over all things that happen, but He can foresee it all and tell us ahead of time what things shall be and how we should live. We need not fear when the Lord is our shepherd. We can call upon Him and trust Him, lean on His Holy Spirit, rely upon His Word, and do what is most pleasing in His sight. Lord, there may be people hearing this message who are not prepared for the unraveling of all things because they've not claimed their Savior. Would this be the day that they would obey the gospel, understand that all their sins were cast upon a substitute who died in their place, and that they can forsake sin, they can repent of their lives, and all confess all their faults, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for them. We pray that that would be the case, and that God would receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.